Today we come to the penultimate Sunday of this liturgical year. And just in 7 days we will conclude the year with the 34th Sunday of Ordinary Time, marked by the solemnity of Christ the King of the universe. There we will come to the end of Matthew's record of Jesus' teaching ministry. All that's left in Matthew after chapter 25 is just the passion and resurrection accounts. And we don't read those until we get to Lent and Holy Week. Yet here at the end of the year, we are still being riddled with more parables. More parables that speak to the time in which we live. For many of the Sundays in year A, that's the year that we're still in, we'll start year B when Advent gets here, as we're on a 3-year cycle. For many of these parables that we've had, they encapsulate an exhortation that Jesus has been giving to us for a long time. A parable that was rooted, you could say, you know, a kind of exhortation that was rooted first in the parable of the sower and the seed. It was there that he gave us that instruction, anyone who has ears capable of hearing ought to hear. And many of the moments in which our Lord teaches thereafter with similar parables, you know, we've had, you know, that continuing message, a calling to come and listen attentively at the feet of Jesus. On pondering, you know, the kind of the not only today's scripture passages, but kind of getting a broad view of all the passages we've been reading over the weeks, you know, I couldn't help but be reminded of the scene at Bethany that St. Luke gives us an account of, where Mary listens with an undivided attention and her sister Martha toils away at the tasks of the house and then complains to Jesus and tries to get her sister to join her. And then Jesus saying to Martha, "Your sister has chosen the better part." I love that scene. It's one of my, it's so hard to pick like just one passage in the Gospels that's your favorite, because there's just too many. They're so good. But this has got to be in the top 10. Notice he says, the Lord never says to Martha, "Your sister has chosen the only part." For that time, anyways, it was the better part. And if we scroll through the lessons and parables we've been taught over the weeks of this troublesome summer, of course, we'll see that we've been given the same directive. At this time, the better part is to listen carefully, attentively, quietly. But now here in the location of the Father's house, in this setting, in the temple area, when the hour of Jesus' passion is right around the corner, now does the message appropriately take a transition. When the hour of God, the hour of our Lord Jesus that has been appointed to him by the Heavenly Father is given, then does Martha's example become the better part. Then comes the moment for an obedient response. And for us who follow in Jesus' footsteps, an obedient response constantly in faithfulness. Readiness is the message now. That's what we heard last week, especially in the urgency of being ready like the wise virgins. And now being ready in the example of this parable as those who are granted a responsibility over the household of the Master who goes on a journey. You know, when you look at these three characters, you know, to each is apportioned some of the money that amounts to the totality of the master's household. And each, as the parable says, is apportioned to his ability. The first is given 5 talents, the second is given 2, and the last is given just 1. And if If you ever get a chance to read those passages and read some of the subtext, some of the commentary on that, the value of just one talent was an extraordinary sum. So much so that it's believed that just one talent amounted to about 15 years of work. So imagine that. The first gentleman, who's first servant who's given five talents, is literally given a lifetime worth of funds. The second is given about half that. And still, the third is given at least 15 years. Amazing. And when he goes on their way, it says, the first two servants, anyways, give an example of urgently responding, going to work right away. And in that time, they double the amount that's been assigned to them. Before getting to the last one, however, I think it's amazing to see that the kind of praise that is given to both the first and the second is about equal. You don't see, the second getting kind of like a second-tier praise. But both the first and the second, who double what their master has given them, while they both had less, like what you could say the second servant had less than the first, he's still given an opportunity to share in the joy of his master, to share in the joy of his household, nothing less. In light of that, I think it's important to be mindful of the fact that whatever God allots to us, if we respond to it with faithfulness, even if it's a response that's, even if it's a return that is less than, say, perhaps the person who sits to the next of us, or if the person to our left or our right, it doesn't matter. What our Lord wants is faithfulness. Or as Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say, the Lord asks for faithfulness, not success. But then we turn to this last servant who buries his talent out of fear, a false notion he has adopted about his master, that he is just a dictator who is just a money-mongering tyrant who's going to suck every one of his servants dry, a false notion. And he's lived by it, and he effectively, by burying his talent in the ground and out of fear, he's effectively said, sorry, Lord, your currency doesn't have any value in my life. And that's potentially what can happen with those who don't respond to God's grace. And we say, sorry, Lord, your grace is not a recognized currency in my life. Then we have trouble. What this servant is struggling with, as the church fathers have taught us and as the church teaches us in her moral theology, is the sin of Acadia. Some call it the sin of sloth, but more appropriately, the sin of Acadia. I prefer, as that's the definition that St. Thomas Aquinas likes to go to. And the thing is, about the sin of Acadia, the reason why he is treated so harshly by the master, not only because he made a false assumption, but because, he effectively said, your currency is no good for me, I will have to stick to my own currency in life. That is equivalent, Acadia is the sin of blasphemy, the sin of despair, basically stiff-arming the Holy Spirit and saying, sorry, Lord, there's nothing you can do to help me. That is the tragedy that no one should face. And because of the gospel of mercy that we've been hearing over and over and over again, God forbid anyone should slip into that assumption. So when we look at this message, we ought not to think of, the time of judgment as a time of condemnation, like, will I get it or will I not? We must be eager, like the first two servants. How much more can I give? How much more can I yield my life and take part in the joy that will last forever? That's the question we should ask, and it's an appropriate one for the month of November, a time where we continue to ponder and treasure the thought of the coming time when we will go before our Lord, or perhaps if the Lord comes to us first in our lifetime. The time is indeed coming, but let's not fall into fear. Ours is not a God like the description of the false servant who said he is a demanding person, harvesting where he doesn't plant and gathering where he doesn't scatter. Everywhere he scatters, if there is a willing heart, and if there is any proceed that comes forth in our cooperation, even in the slightest, he will take us to himself. Let's be mindful of this joyful message and share it with those who are struggling during our times, and keep our heads lifted high as we approach a new year. Thanks be to God.